Welcome to another episode of Autosave. My name is Nick Andrade, and I'm here with my co-host Camille Salazar Hathaway. And on this episode, guess what? We are starting our journey into a brand new game, dipping into the Xbox catalog for, I think, the first time, as we are playing Halo Infinite. And of course, it's the campaign, not the multiplayer. How hype are you for this, Cam? Because I know you love Halo, and I'm going to have to defer to you, actually, to a lot of things from this series, because I literally have no clue, which is probably not a good thing, you know, hosting a gaming podcast.
You know what? No, don't do that to yourself. It's okay. You don't have to know everything. I know I, like, rag on you a lot, but I'll give you this one. It's okay. And you know what? I just want to point this out because I have to rag on you at the start of every episode. It's Xbox. I don't know why you said Xbox. Like, you did this squeak. When you listen to this episode, okay, you're going to hear it. And it was the funniest thing ever. And I was holding.
That was by accident.
I know it was by accident. I know it was by accident, but I had to.
Xbox. Like,
I know.
Xbox.
But yeah, no, don't do that to yourself with Halo. It's okay if you don't know the Halo lore. I have to say, I haven't played all the Halo games. My introduction to Halo was actually watching my cousins play Halo. I didn't have an Xbox as a kid. So yeah, my cousins would play Halo and they would hog the game. So it was a lot of watching, but this, I'm excited about it because I know a lot that the Halo community has been waiting for that resurgence of Halo. The multiplayer is popping. It's really smooth, really good. I don't know if you got a chance to hop in to the multiplayer at all, but it's just, we're going to talk about it obviously today, but it's just a different type of FPS.
I do like this dynamic that we have sometimes where maybe one of us isn't a big fan of the series or hasn't played it, so we can get a kind of like different perspective on it. But for me, it's interesting. Like, growing up, I saw so many of my friends play Halo, or like I would go to parties and they would be playing Halo, and I just had really no interest in it. I hated the Xbox controller. I hated the way the game looked in general, and it always like tore me away. So now playing this game and seeing all these characters that come into this, I don't have that kind of sentimental feeling that everyone else has. So it's an interesting way as I play this game. But I guess my first question to you is, what was the reason why that you wanted to play this game specifically?
When I think of our podcast and like what we're doing here, we talk about like games that not only we're interested in, but a lot of other people are interested in. And for me, like, this is a huge point in gaming Halo Infinite because it's been so long. It's showcasing next gen. I'm playing it on the Series X. You're playing on the Series S. So we'll talk about that as well, that difference there. But also, it's like Halo for me, because growing up, I was like more of a COD person and Unreal Tournament person. So Halo was always this like other franchise that I've always wanted to get into more. But because my cousins were the ones always hogging the game, I never actually got that chance to play, right? So for me, this is going to be my first full campaign of Halo.
Ooh.
Like, because before I would play parts with my cousins and like my friends, right? So this is my first full campaign of Halo. I mean, it's Master Chief, an iconic character. You have to explore his story more and figure out where his story leads. And I feel like everyone's talking about Halo considering that the show.
As I was starting to play this game, I just saw a random Elon Musk tweet that was like, Halo Infinite campaign is good. And I know we don't want to talk about Elon Musk in general and who he is or if you like him or not, but I just thought that was funny that he enjoyed the campaign of Halo Infinite. It's a funny thing too. You kind of mentioned it, is games that are traditionally multiplayer heavy, where people just dive straight into the multiplayer and they don't care about the campaign. It's an interesting dynamic, especially for this one. It's like, can you play a game that has a campaign mode that's actually satisfying, especially with FPS, because a lot of them kind of skimp out on it, right?
Yeah, like the only other, like Call of Duty usually has a really good campaign, although it's usually skipped over by everyone who plays COD because they're going for that quick satisfaction that the multiplayer provides, like when you're playing, and like that formula they keep repeating multiple times a year. But the campaigns are actually really good experiences. You've had famous actors actually cameo in those campaigns. And Halo, for me, it's more like when you know the overarching story, it's really interesting. And I want to know what happens with Cortana. Okay, I'll just say that right there. I want to know what happens with Cortana. So I'm excited about that too.
I honestly, like, I don't know too much about Cortana, so I can't add too much about it. But just a couple of notes here. At the time of recording, there's been 20 million players on Halo Infinite since the launch game. So, yeah, it's very insane. And so since 2001, there have been 16 Halo games made, whether the main games or side games or whatever. I feel like that's a huge part of it. This is a franchise that has been around for a long time.
It was that rival, right? Why are you laughing?
No, nothing. Nothing.
Okay. Nick's having a laugh over there in the corner. He's entertaining himself. But that's the thing. I think this is a showcase of how long this... Because I know it's not a niche community, but a part of me also feels like it is because of how big a game like COD is. And, you know, I don't like to compare games because COD and Halo are very different FPSs. But when I think of like the impact the two had, it's just like COD had a specific formula and it was doing that really well. And then this game came out and everyone's like, yo, this is cool too. So I understand why people just keep gravitating back to Halo.
So again, I don't know too much about Halo. I don't know too much about the Xbox or whatever. I unboxed my Xbox for the first time just to play this game. It had been in my closet for about, I don't know, 4 months, 5 months. It's a little one. You have the big Xbox, right? The big...
Yeah, the Series X I have, but the Series S is pretty good. And it's like a really affordable option, I find.
So my main question, as again, you're probably going to have to lift me up a little bit during this show, especially if we meet characters that I've never heard of before, if they're actually important, you can tell me how exciting it is. But my main question to you was, is Master Chief a person or just a robot in a suit? Because I have no idea.
Yeah, totally an alien, obviously. Alien. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But wait.
No, Nick. No, he is not. He is not an alien. He is a person.
I'm gullible. Oh, jeez. Can you explain, like, has Master Chief ever taken off his helmet?
No, he's never taken off his helmet.
Never.
Never, okay. ever taken off his helmet. You never see the face of the Master Chief. But pretty much, like, he was augmented and became, like, a soldier. That a Spartan that just kicks ass all the time and fights for the human race. But, like, my thing is, okay, and because Nick and I, we have these two different experiences with this franchise, I don't want to spoil this for other listeners that are going through this game with us. So there will be instances where I'm like, okay, nigga, like, I can't tell you. I'm sorry, I can't tell you yet because I don't want to spoil things for you. Because I think it's also interesting how we are going through this separately. Like, I have a little more knowledge on what happened before jumping into this event, whereas you have none, right? So I like that, and I don't want to spoil that because I'm curious with at the end when we reflect on everything, how our different perceptions of the game
probably be very different. We also will, on the last episode of this series, go through some multiplayer aspects, which I want to as well, because again, it's a huge part of it. But I guess the last question I have for you is, before we dive into this game, what were your expectations, or what are your expectations of the game as you start to play it? Like, what were your expectations going into it?
My expectations, I guess, going in is to get some closure for Master Chief and like the Cortana storyline. And then also just to see, like, because I saw trailers of the game and gameplay, and I've seen the multiplayer, but heading into the campaign, I haven't. So you see some of the beauty in the multiplayer already in terms of the graphics. I'm curious on how that would be taken further. Ooh. I've also heard good things about the dialogue with some of the like NPCs, well, the enemies. So I'm curious about that as well. How about you? Like, coming from like knowing nothing, what are your expectations diving in?
My expectations are, I just want it to be a really cool FPS. But more importantly, my expectations are, I hope that this is a satisfactory campaign mode, because again, I've been let down multiple times by, you know, Call of Duty's campaigns. So
really,
I want, yeah, well, I mean, what? Again, I think there's hit and miss sometimes.
Okay, but I'm just saying in general, fair.
Yeah, there's I'm not saying that Call of Duty has horrible ones, but yeah,
I feel like, listeners, please let us know in the Discord what you think about the Call of Duty campaigns, if you've played them, because I feel like Nick's doesn't know what's up here. Sorry Nick, you don't know what's up. You don't know what's up.
I just say hit and miss. That's all I'm saying. Not everyone was good.
Fine, okay, fine. Fair. All right. Fair.
After the break, we dive into Mission 1. Welcome back to Autosave, and let's get into some gameplay for Halo Infinite.
If you knew how you were going to die, how would you live your life differently?
So we start with an incredible cinematic cutscene of a battle with Master Chief at the center of it. He gets confronted by this giant ape-like creature. I'm not really sure what it is. It kind of looks like an Uruk-hai from Lord of the Rings, but he gets beat down. There's this weird voice in the back of his head. I don't know exactly what it means. Are these creatures, have we seen these creatures before, by the way? Or are these brand new?
Yeah, so the Banished, they're creatures from the Halo world, but the events here, no one has seen. So this picks up after Halo 5, but it's like 18 months after. So no one's actually seen what happened in this 18 months after. Ah, so they're welcoming everybody into the Halo universe.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. The Banished introduces himself as Atriox and tells Master Chief that that's the last face he'll see before he plunges to his death, apparently. And I thought, my God. Is Master Chief just dead right off the top?
Yes. Yes, he's dead. Imagine if the credits just rolled right after that. Thank you for playing Halo Infinite. Atriox is scary as heck. And I feel like the voice acting, like, it's just like very like menacing. I loved every moment of this. Like, even when you see Master Chief like falling. And then he tries to put his grapple up, but then you just see like the wire go. I was just like, oh, he's going into the void. It's getting real now. I loved it.
The cinematic, I was so impressed by the way. Like, it looked beautiful. And I was like, okay, if this is like how it starts, like, I'm in for the ride here, because it just looks incredible. So I'm already like surface level excited to see what happens. And I want to see what happens to Master Chief, because is he going to die? I don't know, but let's see in this next clip.
This is UNSC Pelican Echo 216. Can you hear me? This is UNSC.
Hello?
the main power cells are fried. Armor shut down. Triggering survival mode. I'm going to try to override. Okay. If you can hear me in there, I hope you're ready. Please don't die. Please.
So I guess only one of the last UNSC people, again, Camille, I need your help on this. Like, who is this man that we just saw, Echo 216?
Okay, so the UNSC is pretty much like the organization that abducted John 117 when he was a child and, like, put him into this program. So they, like, are forcing him and, like, other Spartans to, like, go into battle, right? So when you hear that, like, this guy is just like, I'm the last one. It's pretty devastating because if he's the last one, then it's like, what happened to humanity around the Halo? Like, what do you mean? Like, the UNSC has no, like, no presence.
Wait, I just had an epiphany here. So,
oh, what?
That giant ring is the Halo?
Oh my gosh.
Is that why it's called Halo?
Oh, well, my
really
gosh.
I do not
Nick.
Know anything about this franchise.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I was calling it the ring this whole time, and I didn't realize that it's a Halo.
Oh, my gosh. Halo. Wow. It's a Halo Zeta. So, if you looked, there was actually like colonies of people on that Halo. It's kind of like, you know, like every, we're kind of sci fi nerds. Like, there's that whole idea of like civilizations living on like a ring, Interstellar, for instance. That's kind of like the vibe of this. So that's why it's like very alarming if he's saying like he's the only one a part of the UNSC here, because they're really supposedly fighting for humanity.
Okay. So we see like this cutscene with Echo, and he has this like kind of, I don't know, hologram thing with his family that he's watching as he's kind of stuck on the ship for a while. And then I guess there's a flash forward because now all of a sudden his hair is longer. He has a beard, and then he finds Master Chief floating into space. My question is, how long was this guy on the ship, and how long was Master Chief floating in space? Because I am confused. I'm kind of going to dive deep a little bit further, which is they explain how everything was destroyed and but then there's still villains around. I'm kind of confused as to like how long of a time period this is, because it seems like a long time has passed and we see a flash forward and his hair is longer, so obviously, but why are they still there specifically?
So if this is like 18 months.
Okay.
I don't think it's after the event of like, it's 18, supposed to be 18 months when we see Artek, what's his name again? Artrox, right? Artriox. Yeah. Artriox, like throw Master Chief off. We were really struggling with that name there. But I think that time period no one saw. So then, I don't know, like I would feel like, how long does it take for your beard to grow out? Like a month? Like a few months?
18 months, I expect him to have like a giant Gandalf beard.
I don't think it's 18 months from the first scene to seeing him. I think 18 months is when these events are happening after the last Halo. But I don't know how long after those two scenes. I would say maybe like, I don't know, I don't have a beard. 3 weeks. I'm like, how long does it take for those things to grow? A month? It's been some time. Needs some grooming. He needs some grooming. But yeah, it you see that his power, he has to, I guess he's trying to save his power, because like everything's off when he's looking at the hologram before he finds Master Chief, and like it's cold in there. You could see his breath when he breathes. So like I thought that was very cool, because I'm like, yo, space is cold. Like, you're telling me there's no blankets on that ship you could just throw over yourself, try to get a little warm?
It's true.
That was my thought. That's where my brain goes right away. I'm like, there's no blankets in there for you? Come on.
I guess there should be some sort of rations or something going on in a ship, especially when you're in the dead of space, right? So
exactly.
That would only make sense. He recovers Master Chief, brings him inside. He reroutes what little power he has left into the suit. And I gotta say, now we're thinking about it and growing beards and stuff, Master Chief. So we get him online, but he must be real musty in there, right? Like, first of all, like, he must have like long fingernails and like he must be gangly looking, and he's got like a beard, like a long beard. Like, he probably looks like a reverse Santa Claus.
I don't even know. Santa Claus. I don't even know. Like, did he have a beard before? Who knows? No one knows. No one's seen. So it's up to the imagination. My thing, though, it's like he's been floating for some time in like that sleep mode or whatever. That is scary. Like, I don't care if you're a Spartan, a regular person, or a banished. Floating in space would be the scariest thing to happen to you.
But that's the thing, is like he comes online and then he's already ready to go.
Yeah, because he's Master Chief.
This is why I asked you in the beginning, like, is he a robot? Because, like, yes, he's Master Chief, but, like, how hard is he that he's just like, I just was floating in space for 6 months to 18 months, and now, ready to go. I don't have to go pee. I don't have to go poo. I'm ready to go. Let's fight these guys.
He's been, like, experimented on and, like, you know, changed a bit. So he's still man, but master of man.
I heard that the introduction to Master Chief is similar, usually, where you have to look to the left, look to the right, up and down. Is that a tradition in Halo games?
From what I've seen, yes.
So maybe a little nostalgic there, yeah, for people.
Yeah, a little nostalgia there. But I think it's just really cool, too, like to have like that. Like, I like when games make the intro part so that it's not an intro part. It just feels like it's a part of the game. So I kind of like that. Like, I'm checking your specs, making sure that you could see. I always like giggle. And that's like the oldest trope in gaming, but I still love it.
I don't know if you can see in the notes here, but this was before I had the revelation that Halo was the ring that I saw. Because I had said in here, like, the ring has been completely destroyed. Camille, what's the significance of this? But now I know it's the Halo, and that's where basically everything is. But again, that's where the confusion I have here again, because I thought everything was destroyed, but then the banished people are still there, or that they just came back at the certain time, or they were always there to begin with that entire time. I'm guessing that they were just entirely there the whole time.
It's like four different factions that fight each other, and the banished are like kind of fighting all of those factions. So they're waging war on everyone. So, yeah, the halos. So you have like these halo installations that were like put on the different halos. So like this one's the Zeta Halo by the precursors. And everyone's always fighting for power over those, all these different factions. So you, when you're Master Chief here, you obviously realize everything's wrecked. And Atriox, I have to keep remembering his name because it's like... Atriox. It reminds me of Atreyu for some reason from Neverending Story, like a movie my sister made me watch when
Shout
I was a kid.
Neverending Story.
I know, right? But yeah, so Atriox, obviously, if they're there and he's in power, then the Banished have taken over this area. So it's very concerning.
So obviously, Master Chief wants to do what he can to save what he can. His initial reaction, obviously, is to save humanity, which Echo's not too entirely happy about. But there's a cool scene here where Echo gives Master Chief a pistol, says that's all he has. It's one bullet. And Master Chief says, yeah, it's enough. I'll improvise. And that's where I really started to feel this game. I was like, okay, let's go, Master Chief. Time to just zerg everybody.
Zerg everybody?
Yeah. But it's super cool because he bounces off from debris to debris. He uses his one bullet. He finds another gun. And then all of a sudden, he's ready to go, and he's got to find a battery for a ship, I guess.
Yeah, so, like, you just see how resourceful. Well, like, he's just the most resourceful hero ever. Because when it's, like, one in the chamber, usually you're like, okay, they're going to, like, do some crazy shot at someone, and then it's going to, like, have a chain of events or something like that. But no, he's like, yeah, I'll shoot with this one bullet, but like this bullet really means nothing to me because I could still take it down everybody and get what I need. So like my favorite part is when he sees like one of the banished and like he pulls his gun and like grabs the ammo and like reloads as he's floating back. This whole opening portion, I feel like you said, for Halo fans, people who've been introduced to the franchise before, they're like, yes, Master Chief. Like, this is who Master Chief is, right? For newcomers like yourself, it's like, yo, this guy's badass.
So once we get there, though, like, I have so many questions, but we're supposed to shut down the stasis beam so we can get our ship out of there. That's basically the mission of what we're trying to do. Right off the bat, the kind of grunt enemies / pawns, I would say, are these little annoying critters. And it's funny to me that we start this mission seeing Atriox in this giant beast who looks so intimidating. And I'm thinking, like, every enemy is going to be like that. And then there's these little guys that are just like, and they're just weird. And I was taken aback as I first started, you know, with my gun and shooting these guys.
So, like, were you taken aback because you were like, whoa, this is doesn't match the tone that, like, the game already set up?
Yes, 1,000%. Okay. That's exactly what I thought.
Okay. Did you like that, though, or did you not like it?
I thought it was kind of weird because, again, like, we see a mammoth of a villain, then we see this amazing cutscene, and then we see some urgency from Echo, and then we see Master Chief being a complete badass, and he's like, let's do this. And then it's like,
oh, that was pretty good. That was a pretty good, the let's do this. That was a pretty good Master Chief impression.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I like it because it shows that, like, although this is like not everything in this world is dark and gloomy, although it is, there's like a little bit of humor with those characters. Like, were you listening to their dialogue? Like, some of the stuff they say, it's just hilarious. They're hilarious. Hilarious, guys.
They're also like annoying. In terms of, like, trying to kill them. Because they flail everywhere. And then they have, like, these shields sometimes.
They also cower. They cower. Like,
they do. That's why. Like, what is... What? This is not following the tone of this game at all.
But isn't that realistic? Like, do you expect every enemy soldier to be like, yeah, let's go face this iconic warrior and walk to our deaths? I love the fact that these guys are like...
That's actually a really great point that I don't think we've ever mentioned before. We always play these games where every enemy is ready to kill you, but that's probably not the case in real life. So maybe they're dealing with deeper themes here, which on surface I wouldn't have guessed at all. So that's a good point.
Yeah, you gotta love the grunts. They're just like these cute little guys.
So like I said, we have to shut down the stasis beam, and in order to do that, we have to locate the bridge. So guess what? That means a lot of fighting. And I really like this. It kind of gives you a sense of how to play the game, whether it's you have to be strategic in your fighting. You can't necessarily just go out right in front of the open and shoot. Like, there has to be a rhyme to your reason. So that's something that I really enjoyed as I started picking this up.
One of the highlights for me about the Halo franchise as an FPS is the verticality of the gameplay. You don't get too much of a taste for it in this first mission, but I feel like jumping back into Halo, because I was playing the multiplayer a little bit before, I was a little used to it jumping into the campaign, but when I jumped into the multiplayer, that's one thing I forgot about Halo. Well, not forgot, but like that's one thing I had to get used to again is the verticality of like having an enemy up top, like,
yeah,
and then like you're figuring out where you're getting shot from because there's a bunch of enemies in front of you and you have a good like cover, but then you have to look up top and be like, oh crap, you're open to another one up top.
That's a great point too. I never really thought about that, but yeah, and there's sometimes panels where someone's shooting you from a different way and you're covering from someone else, but someone can see you from that side. Like it's a different dynamic that I never really think of in terms of like FPSs, but I think this adds to like my enjoyment of it because there's so many different like tiers and layers to it. That's a great point. Damn. Okay. Halo. We on
Halo?
One. Halo? Can I get a Halo?
Halo! That's the thing we're doing now. Can I get a Halo? Halo?
Halo. Oh my God. Okay. We're losers. We're nerds. But again, like I said, a lot of fighting in between this, getting to the bridge. We find this semi little half boss regular mob. It's not too hard, but it's called a Brute Berserker. We find, again, there's these tiers of enemies where we have those grunts. And then we also have guys who resemble these banished more so, where they're bigger, they have armor. That's another aspect of it as well, in terms of finding ways to shoot, is some of these guys with armor, it's more difficult. Even with the grunts with a shield, you have to have precision in order to shoot their weakness zones, because they have little weaknesses on their shields. And then, of course, with these berserkers, they also have helmets that you got to shoot off. So, like, you can't get a headshot right away. And just there's little multiple tiers here. That's really cool.
I have a question for you. Are you that type of gamer that goes usually for the body shots or the headshots?
Listen, I want to say that I go for... Because I play a lot of Call of Duty and I play a lot of Warzone. I want to say that I try to go for the head, but I just try to go for whatever piece of meat is there at any time. And it normally happens to be the torso. So maybe I'm just not that good of a gamer. I'm guessing you go straight for the head.
I do usually try to go for the headshots, because in a lot of FPSs, I'll usually try to master the sniper and try to do a headshot. It's just so satisfying. So for me, it's like, you know, when you're going after a brute and like he has his helmet on and you just like go to shoot him, it's just satisfying seeing his helmet, like the chunk fall off, and then he's like, you're like, that's like my thing. I like to play around with the berserker brunts when I can. Although I will say, like, some of these, when you first encounter the berserker brunt, like, I was not expecting to encounter him that early in the game. Like, so it kind of, like, when he was just, like, running after me, I'm like, oh, shoot. Like,
oh, yeah.
And, like, running away. And then I was just like, okay, I'm just going to get a bunch of these canisters and throw them at him, because, like, I freaked out.
Yeah. Yeah, he charges at you really fast. And that was my oh, shit moment. Yeah. Like, oh, man, we're getting real in this game.
Did you die at all encountering any of the berserkers?
No.
I did, just because I was taken off guard. And it's when they kill you, they kill you. They kill you, man. They kill you.
They kill you, right? Yeah, it's pretty gruesome, actually.
They just, like, grab you and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, dead.
I have to say that I may not die from those, but my number one cause of death throughout the game that I've been playing so far.
I know what it is. Falling off the ledge. Yeah.
I goddamn fall off the ledge every time. Because I don't know my surroundings. I think I have enough room. And then I just fall to my death. And I maybe did that like 4, 5, 6 times, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 times.
We need a counter every episode. How many times did you fall off the ledge?
I've recorded the gameplay, so if you want to check it out, you can see how many times. Maybe I'll do a compilation. How many times has Nick fallen to his death? But yeah, it's the spatial awareness. Like, you talked about the tiers of levels and verticality of it. And, like, again, it has such an effect on it, because, you know, you think that maybe you're covering, but then, no, you're just falling to your death because you don't have the spatial awareness to know where your body is, unfortunately.
Yeah. Always make sure if you're walking with Nick across a bridge, there's a railing. You don't want to fall off.
As we get to the bridge, we see a hologram of someone who looks a lot like Atriox, but his name is Escherum. And he's telling the ship members that
the hour approaches. Soon, the banished will stand victorious. Atriox, hear these words. Even from beyond this life, your will is served. Your forces occupy the ring. Within hours, it will be under our control. Humanity will cower before your legacy. They will burn. Praise and defiance will be all but a memory.
So the Banished want to burn humanity to the ground.
I mean, what are you going to do on a Wednesday, right? Hey guys, it's Wednesday. It's time to burn humanity to the ground. Let's go.
We take a lot from this clip in terms of, like, Atriox seems like he's dead. And Escherum is the leader, because he's talking about his legacy and all of that. So you're giving me eyes like I know I am supposed to know something that I don't. Is that true?
No. I'm just giving eyes because I was laughing at my joke that I just told like 5 minutes
it was
ago.
One of the best jokes you've ever told, by the way. I'm writing that down.
So good. Going in the books. But yeah, like it seems like there's a power shift here with the banished. So who is he? I have no idea.
So there's like a back and forth with Master Chief and Echo after this where they talk to each other. And Echo is very much under the opinion that they should run and get the hell out of here. Whereas Master Chief basically wants to save everything and get directly involved. Echo doesn't want to. He wants to see his family, obviously. And there's like this push and pull back that we see throughout this entire mission where Echo is just like, let's dip. Let's get out of here. And Master Chief is like, no, we need to save everybody.
I mean, wouldn't you be pissed as Echo? Like being like, wait, 100%. What? Like I've just showed you my family, right? Like I'm sad here. Only human because now I don't consider you human because you're just like altered. And I can't go back away from this like trauma like that I've been around this whole time alone. Come on. Like, I would be the same as Echo. I'd be really upset. I would have probably abandoned Master Chief. I'm sorry. I'm putting it out there. I would have been like, all right, yeah, you go do that. I'll be right here. I'll be here when you come back and then just fly away.
I think he mentions at some point too, like, why did I like rescue you?
Why did I pick up a Spartan?
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. Why did I pick up a Spartan?
Yeah, it's always there for the mission, right? Like
So we run into the controls of the ship after defeating countless amount of enemies. And I mean, there is a lot of enemies. We have to disable the stasis beam and hack it. In order to do so, we have to scuttle the ship by destroying the cooling manifolds because it didn't work just turning it off, which is a nice, cool thing because we have to throw grenades at these two giant yellow, I don't know, batteries or what it looks like. But as we do so, we like basically destroy the ship.
Yeah. And like just do it casually. Yeah. Just like, oh, yeah. I'm just give me 1 second. I got to take care of some of these brutes and some of these grunts so that I could just like shoot at this, like these two batteries and then just scuttle the ship.
Eshram also knows that we're there. We get another hologram little thing where he basically tells Master Chief he doesn't care about what ships you destroy, that Master Chief is just another enemy to destroy. So we kind of see what the banished's motives are here is they just want to rule everything with an iron fist and don't care who gets in the way.
But they do care. I don't know if you picked up any of the dialogue that the brutes were having at this part when you're trying to like hit those batteries. But like you hear at one point, you hear one of them like say to the other, they're like, no, you must have been dreaming. It's not him.
Oh.
And then when the grunts, some of the grunts at this point, they're like, their dialogue is around the fact that, it's like, it's him. It's the demon, right?
Yeah.
So it's like funny that like you get this like hierarchy of like, you know, Eshram up top is like, go after Master Chief. He's nothing to us. But then everyone else underneath is like, he's kind of someone who's killed a lot of us. So I like those like just small hints of fear.
So we got to escape the Pelican, by the way, which is what the ship's called, which I also found out. This is a Spartan ship, right? Or is it not?
I think the Banished took after the ship. Took over. That's what I meant. I'm like, took over, not took after.
Thank you. We have to grapple shoot our way out of some flying debris. Mm. Pretty fun. I enjoyed it. Everything's exploding in the background. You have to kind of run from the explosions. Some grunts are getting destroyed by these explosions. And I enjoy that it's low gravity as well in this whole mission. And you can kind of jump really high. But I had a lot of fun with that.
This is actually a point where I did fall off some of these.
Oh, this is where you fall off? Okay.
I did fall because your grapple, right? So when you use the grapple, if you're a little too far, it won't grab on to the platform. But then there's also like a, I don't know if you noticed, like a cooldown period before you could use your grapple again. And that's usually why I died. I didn't time things out properly.
Thank you for being honest with me.
I have to be honest with you. Yeah, exactly. But I will say, like, yeah, this scene, like, this is a really cool part because there's also like the grunts and the brutes that are shooting at you as well from a distance. So like the FPS player in me wanted to stop a few times and like just shoot them back. But really you can't because you'll miss like the platform you have to jump on, or like you won't trigger like it, 'cause pretty much how far you go triggers an event that takes care of those enemies. Mm-hmm. So like they'll just kill you essentially if you don't continue to move forward to trigger the like explosion that will kill them all at that moment.
This game is always thinking. It's always got another level on it, which I really enjoy.
The verticality of the game.
Yes, the verticality, our word of the day, the verticality, yeah,
verticality
of the game verticality. Is really good. But after we escape all the explosions, guess what? It's amp up time because we got a title screen.
Locate UNSC Infinity.
UNSC Infinity, class, supercarrier, crew size, 7,150, not found.
Near field perimeter scan.
1,986 UNSC tags detected.
Status.
Deceased.
The Master Chief lives? Atriox assured us of his death. Are you not angered?
No. I feel invigorated.
You promised us revenge. Superiority! Renewal! He threatens everything!
Do you question my leadership? Atriox's vision!
Atriox is dead! It is his fault that we are stuck here!
The Banished will never bow to anyone again! Not the Covenant! Not the Prophets! This ring will be operational. Please. There. You will have your revenge.
So a lot going on there, Gam, that we got to break down. All the Spartans and the UNSC are gone? They've destroyed everyone?
Yeah, like what? I don't know. Like what? So, okay, pretty much. Because when... It's been a while hopping into this campaign that I've played a Halo game, like campaign. So at first when I was like, who the heck's Aishram? And then I was like, oh crap, that's him. So he was under Artriox. Oh my God, I'm the worst at these names.
Atriox,
yes. Artriox? I want it because of Treyu. God dang it. Stupid never ending story. But yeah, Artriox. So he was under Artriox. And the difference is like, so in the Banished, Artriox, he said that like there is a place for humans under them. But then for Aishram, oh my God, I'm going to mess up his name.
You got it.
Thank you. He is like, no. So I guess like when Atriox died, Aishram was like, let's kill all the humans. Like, I don't know.
That makes sense. Must be pretty heartbreaking for Master Chief, by the way. We can't tell because he never takes off his helmet. But he's probably crying. Also, Aishram mentions her. Do you know who her is, or do you have any idea, or is that just another mystery that we have to solve?
So I think he's talking about Cortana.
Ooh, okay.
Because so what happened in 5, she kind of, her and other AIs rebelled against the humans.
Ooh, okay.
And kind of start like attacking, right? So I think that's who he's talking about. But I didn't get a good glimpse of the hologram that they pulled up when he was talking about that. But what my favorite thing is, it's like we would think, usually you would think like all these enemies are, because they're like aliens, right? The Banished, they're not. I find sometimes when games go into campaigns where they have like the other against humanity, it's like very one-dimensional on the reason why the other's doing something. But one of the things I appreciate with Halo is it's like there is still, yes, the hierarchy with the Banish, but also that conflict within the Banish where they all don't agree. It's not just an easy, like, we're burning all humans to the ground and everyone agrees. So I like that. We're still seeing that bit of conflict here with him.
You can see, though, like, what kind of leader Eshram is, though, by the way he treats Tremonius in terms of, like, he'll kill you right on the spot if you don't believe in him.
Yes.
Which is also, it probably means, like, I think you mentioned this earlier in the game, but, like, they probably go through leaders pretty often as people try to maybe, like, usurp other leaders if they don't believe in what they believe in, correct? And that could have happened as to what happened to Atriox, right? Because we don't really know what happened to him. And that's what my guess is, at least. So Cortana is a very huge part of this game, correct? Yes. Not this game, but like this franchise. And she's not friends with Master Chief?
She was his AI. So, you know, at the beginning of this game, when you see it says like AI not detected, I think that's what it says.
Yeah.
So because she's gone, right? So they have a really long history that almost was like romantic in a sense.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, you know, and it's really interesting that side of that story. So that's why I'm just curious, like, what happened to her? Like, why? Like, what will happen to them, essentially? I love a good romance.
Especially AI, between an AI and a guy who never takes off his mask. Very intriguing stuff. But I'm super excited to see what happens throughout this game. And we'll find out as we go forward. But coming up, we'll break down the rest of Mission 1 on Alexandria.
Locate message source.
Triangulation in progress. Triangulation in progress.
We're done, right, Chief? If we stay out here any longer, they're gonna come back. They'll find us and they'll kill us. What is it you're searching for?
Match found. Signal located. Waypoint uploaded.
There's nothing there. You're looking in the wrong direction. We need to go home.
Plot the waypoint.
Requesting manual flight control override.
Do it.
Autopilot engaged.
Wait, what? Are you kidding me? Why would we go down there?
The Banish plan to wipe us out. All of us.
And what? You think we can stop them on our own? I told you. We lost. We need help. Not heroics.
No. We do our duty. Protect humanity, whatever the cost.
I can't be the only.
Entering atmosphere. Autopilot disengaging in 5.
We have a new mission, soldier.
4.
What is it? What's down there?
3.
A weapon.
2.
A weapon?
1.
How many guns do you need? What is wrong with you? Remind me to never pick up a Spartan.
So there we go. That's exactly who Master Chief is in terms of what his, I don't know, belief system is. He will always save humanity no matter the cost, no matter how big of a giant threat this is. Echo is basically just like, at all costs, wants to get out of there. And Master Chief is like, no. Like, Master Chief sees that all the Spartan systems have been basically destroyed. And he is still, his first inkling is to be like, let me do this myself. So what a badass.
Yeah, he's badass. He's essentially like, it's built in him to do that, right? But I know we'll talk about like the stuff you could find, but I think that also helps a little bit with like the backstory of like the other Spartans or like what's happening with the UNSC here. But yeah, it's just, he's so badass. And like, I think this mission is a great reflection of how the community and the fans have built Master Chief up to be this character that could survive essentially anything and is just so focused on the mission ahead, because that's literally what is happening in this mission. It's just setting up who Master Chief is as a character while making it familiar for people who've already played Halo.
He almost, in a way, seems godlike mm-hmm. in his traits. I wonder if that's like a, is that a good or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. And that's the other thing. When he has his helmet on, you could really just see him as being anyone. It's kind of like that whole Spider-Man syndrome, right? Like you could kind of see like yourself in this hero, or like who you want to be in this hero in Master Chief. And I think that's why in the universe of Halo, people look to him as like the savior, because yes, of his accomplishments, but also the mystery behind him, which has you filling in the gaps.
So overall thoughts on the mission, the first mission, at least story-wise, gameplay, guns, mechanics, all that. Did it feel smooth for you?
It did. Like this mission made me just fall in love with the, it's just the gameplay is so smooth. Like it's so smooth when you're like dodging, looking for cover, and it looks beautiful as well. Like using the grapple, it just made me fall in love again with why Halo is different, a different type of FPS that I appreciate. How they introduced Master Chief coming back, I think it's a little bit confusing because all Halo fans like pretty much have no idea what happened in this time frame, like where it's picking up. I think I did read where it was, like to answer your question earlier, from when Atriox threw off Master Chief to like this point. I think it's been 6 months.
Okay.
Or so. So then it's just, but like I didn't pick that up. Maybe I missed it in the dialogue or like what was said on screen. So like there are like some points of confusion, even as someone who's familiar with the franchise.
Story wise for me, it's reeled me in. Again, as someone who never played Halo very much at all, I got on board pretty much right away because, again, FPS, it's, you know, I love first person shooters, but the story seems like it's there. I don't feel anything, like I don't feel like it's missing anything. I feel like there's a mystery enough going on. You know how much I love mysteries. You know how much I love kind of suspense and not knowing things. It gives you a sense. You hear whispers coming from Master Chief as well, which is like, what's going on there? We don't really know these villains, but they seem like giant badasses who want to destroy the world. Like there's just so much, or the universe, sorry, not the world. The world is just minuscule compared to space stuff. But yeah, just in general, it really reels you in. So I really like that. Guns for me as well. That's the question I wanted to ask you. Are you using plasma guns or are you using the regular shooters more often?
Okay, so I find I gravitate to like the regular guns, like just because it's just satisfying to hear the bullet exit the chamber, and like especially if you have a scope on it, it's really satisfying to me. However, I find the plasma guns very useful against the grunts who are a little bit more annoying, especially with their shields. So I find myself like switching back and forth between the two. But usually, like, my first choice is just a regular type of gun.
Everything in this game feels so smooth. Like, the controls. There's not a situation, I don't know about you, but where I feel wanting in terms of controls. I don't feel like it's very clunky. I feel like it's really easy to move around, to shoot. I don't have any issues with that. I don't know if you know any, but for me, I thought it was just perfect.
No, I haven't had any issues with that. Like just the odd times, sometimes when I'll deploy the grapple, it won't latch on. But that's just my perception thing. Like the range, it has actually nothing to do with the gameplay. It's just me being bad at the grapple.
I do notice that melee kills are a lot quicker in terms of like they're one-shot kills almost.
Did you do a lot of those? Because I wasn't even giving my... I think I might have done one against a brute, but I was not even giving myself a chance to get that close. Because like you said, it's more of that strategic, like you have to be a little bit more strategic with how you're firing.
I think there was one point where I ran out of ammo and there was no ammo crates anywhere. So I was just running around just trying to like crush people's skulls. The alien aspect of everything I had to mention reminds me of Half-Life in terms of like the plasma guns and kind of the weapons that we see that are alien tech. And some of the enemies as well. I was getting some Half-Life vibes, which is I'm a big fan of.
I mean, classic sci-fi.
And lastly, I think collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize what collectibles were there until the end of this mission. So I didn't collect all of them. I got the audio logs. There were two.
You got UNSC. Two? I only got one.
Sorry, yeah, I only got one as well. But when I look back, I saw what I missed, which was there's a banished audio log, there's two UNSC audio logs, and then there's a skull, which I'm really frustrated that I missed off the first hop. But again, I didn't know what collectibles there were, if there were any. And so when I went through, you know, moving forward in the game, I'm more cognizant to those. But like right in that first mission, I did not know and I didn't pick it up. And you actually can't go back and pick them up, which was a little frustrating.
No, you can't. I know. Yeah, I was a little bit frustrated with that as well, just because it's like, God dang, I really want a skull and I want to know what's said in that other audio log. Which audio log did you pick up, though? Was it where... I can't even remember now what was said.
I think it was a Spartans like explaining like what was going on right before their downfall, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah.
So that one, I guess that was the one that was plainly obvious. And I think the other few were a little bit buried that you had to find that were tougher, but it's a little unfortunate, but it's okay. We move and we move forward.
We're going to collect them all next time. Got to catch them all.
We are. Anything else of note before we wrap up?
Yeah, I'm just curious if the Banished will be able to get the Halo installation online, because that could mean trouble. But we'll have to just keep playing and seeing.
And I can find out more things, like the Halo ring was actually what Halo is, and embarrass myself some more as we go through. But I'm excited to go through this with you, who knows this more, and kind of fill in the gaps for me. And again, if you're following along, you've never played Halo before, it's a good way to get into the franchise as well. I know a few series that we've had beforehand, some of my friends and some listeners as well hadn't played some of the games we played, Guardians of the Galaxy, Final Fantasy, and they went in and played for the first time ever and listened to the show as well. So it's a fun kind of way to go through a game and listen to us talk about it and kind of deal with the same gripes that you do. But again, we're not masters. We're just going through this and having fun along the way, just like you. And that's it for this week. We're super excited to go on this journey with you for Halo Infinite. I'm super excited to use the Xbox for the first time, pretty much ever. Next time on Autosave, we kick it up a notch with Mission 2. See you next time.
We're so lame.